Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Wednesday. It is hump day on Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant with me as always, and Sean Mapes behind the glass as always. How are you guys doing? Halfway through the week. Hello.
Hump day.
Yeah.
Let's get to Thursday.
Yeah.
Then Friday.
Yeah.
Then the weekend.
Halfway. We made it. Interesting stuff yesterday. I always feel bad when I say the word interesting, but this is
gross. Should we say that?
Interesting.
Kinky.
More details, possibly fetish-based things.
In Deshaun Watson's eyes, that's what it is.
Yeah,
yes.
New York Times, you know, dropping an article. Jenny Vrintas, who has been on this more than I think any other reporter in the nation, everything involving Deshaun Watson and anything involving Deshaun Watson, dropped another article through the New York Times. The title of this article, How the Texans and a Spa Enabled Deshaun Watson's Troubling Behavior. The spa, we would find out, would be the Houstonian. So there are a couple of things that bullet points from this article, and I do encourage that you read the article. Sit down and take the time to read it. Don't judge it based on the headline.
It's 2022, Vanessa. I'm not going to read
You're just gonna skip through it.
I'm going to trust that you read it.
You know, we all know that he wasn't charged by grand juries. He wasn't indicted by grand juries. But this article breaks down some things that are really not up for debate because they're backed up by receipts, Instagram DMs. As well as the Texans' role in this, which was essentially that they provided him NDAs, that they provided him a room at the Houstonian. Then it talks a little bit more about the number and that there were at least 66 women over a 17-month period of time that Deshaun Watson went to get massages and sought massages from.
And then I wonder, oh, 66, huh? I mean, these are the ones that have Cash App receipts.
It's a great point.
Ever heard of cash? It's money. It's paper money. I really wonder just how many there are. And there's a lot of other questions I have. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Vanessa, when we read about the 24th lawsuit. Has Deshaun Watson been honest, even with the people that are in his corner, the ones that he is paying to, I guess, exonerate him or something like that? Because with the way that Rusty Hardin and his team responded to the 24th allegation, it does feel like they were blindsided, or maybe they are feigning being blindsided. Whatever the case, I really wonder if Watson told Rusty Hardin about every single massage that he had.
There are conversations between Rusty Hardin and Deshaun Watson, you would assume, that are happening behind the scenes. Look, I mean, I think Rusty Hardin's thing from the get-go, if you're a lawyer, now I don't have a law background, is you need the person that you're representing to tell you everything.
Yeah.
So you can come up with the game plan. I don't know that Deshaun comes across as a person that would tell all of these people everything. I do remember when he hired Rusty and there was a press conference with Rusty and the three other female lawyers that are defending Watson at one of the hotels downtown. One of the things that the women said was, Deshaun told us everything, and there is no way. We met him just a week ago, and we know that there is no way he did all of these things, which in and of itself was an ignorant comment. Did he really tell them everything? I mean, do you think that he actually sat down and told them the sheer number? I don't know.
No.
I don't know that I believe it.
Because I don't know that he would remember it. Based off of the way that he acts, he seems rather sociopathic. This seems like it would become something that he would be numb to, callous to. And yeah, do you keep a number of all of the things that you have done over the course of your life or something like that? I don't know. So imagine this is all taking place over the course of what? A calendar year, 2 years, 3 years?
According to Jenny Vrintas, it's 66 in 17 months.
That's nuts.
It's a lot. And regardless of how you feel about whether or not Deshaun did these things, that is an astounding amount. When you talk to people that work for the NFL and they speak to other NFL players, that is an astounding number that is not normal, especially, Paul, when you consider the fact that the Texans have massage therapists on staff.
Yes.
They have their own.
And then this is where we bring the Texans into this, Vanessa, because I know in your bullet points, that was bullet point number two.
So here's what stood out to me. Here's what stood out to me about the article by Jenny Vrintas, who has covered this probably more than anybody in the nation. First of all, is the sheer number. 66 is a lot for any. Now, it's not saying Deshaun did or didn't do something. It's just an observation. 66 women is a lot for any period of time, let alone 17 months. The second thing that stands out, the headline is a little bit, I think, I don't want to say misleading, but it says
it is
Deshaun Watson's, how the Texans and a spa enabled Deshaun Watson's troubling behavior. I think enabled is a little bit strong to say that the Houstonian as a spa enabled anything, and to say that the Texans, by giving a superstar quarterback an NDA, which is not uncommon in the NFL. Now, the timing of the NDA, November of 2020, after the first woman said that she was going to, quote unquote, out him, the timing of the NDA is odd, but the language of the headline saying Watson's massages were enabled by the Texans, I think, is a stretch.
I'm not going to defend it. I'm just going to try to walk through being in the Texans' shoes for this situation. Right. One person comes against Watson and says, I could really expose you. Do you believe the one accuser at this moment in time? Or do you believe your star quarterback?
Who's never gotten in trouble for anything.
Who at that time did seem to be a model citizen. I can understand how the Texans would believe their player, their employee, over this other person. But I wonder how many times they were perhaps made available of suspect things happening at the Houstonian. And
who it was communicated to.
Right.
Was it, you know, because everybody is wanting to throw the former Texans PR folks under the bus. You don't know. Maybe it was
right.
Somebody else that was dealing with it. Maybe it was his people. There's really no evidence either way.
Right. And one person in particular has been highlighted. I'm not even going to throw the name out there. But this person and I have had differences, and I'm not throwing this person under the bus for that. No, I don't. This is one of those situations where you're expecting the Texans to know what he was doing. Hindsight is 20/20. Now, it looks bad, no doubt about it, and they should be dragged for it, especially if there were perhaps other ones that they were made available of and then they didn't do any due diligence about it. But I would say right now, you shouldn't be looking at them. It's all still about Watson, and it's about the idea that it's 66. To me, I don't even believe that it's just 66 anymore. No way. No way. You're telling me, honestly, it just seems so dumb that he would do all of these and put them all through Cash App. Like, he must have done some of these in cash.
Yeah.
I know it's speculation, but like, 66 to me, this guy seems like someone who would be well over that. This is more than one person a week, it seems
like. It's also a pattern, and patterns don't just go away, and they don't just begin. So 66 may be the low number. We started a little late, so we got to get to a break here, but coming up, you're going to hear my third bullet point on what stood out about this New York Times article. That's next.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday. Vanessa and Gallant with you on this hump day. We're continuing to talk about all things Deshaun Watson and that article that Jenny Vrintas wrote from the New York Times. It was detailed. There were a lot of factual things that are backed up by receipts, direct messages, as well as some opinion, speculation. But overall, I mean, she's covered this thing more than almost any other reporter, I would say, in the country. So I'm talking about what stood out to me, Paul and Sean, obviously, whatever stood out to you guys, you can chime in as well. The first thing that stood out to me, as I said in the last segment, 66 is a lot of women for a period of 17 months. That doesn't mean Deshaun
did. It's not normal.
It doesn't mean Deshaun did or didn't do anything. 66 massage therapists is a lot for a 17-month period of time.
I'm surprised there wasn't just one or two. I really am. I mean, don't you want to keep
That's what most NFL players do. That was not what Deshaun decided to do. So the second thing that stood out to me, I do think the headline is a little misleading. She's a great journalist, but her saying the Texans and the Houstonian spa enabled Deshaun Watson is a very strong statement.
Usually,
because the Texans provided Deshaun Watson with an NDA. That's not weird to provide your superstar quarterback with an NDA for anybody that's in their home, operating on them. The NDA thing to me wasn't that big of a deal. So I think enabled was a strong word.
Right. And headlines are generally written by headline editors and stuff too. And they find the juiciest thing that people are going to click on. And this would be, hey, the new revelation in this investigation, the Texans were a part of a cover up. Like, that is juicy. But then you read it, it's, yeah, I think it's a bit of a stretch. The Texans, maybe they should have known. Maybe they should have known after this situation. Maybe they should have been a little bit more suspicious. They chose to give them the benefit of the doubt. Not a good look, but I think that we're playing Captain Hindsight if we're really crushing the Texans over this.
The third thing that stood out to me, and we had been texting about this in our group chat, Albert Breer was on the Pat McAfee show. And you wouldn't think that there's a big difference between the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th lawsuits. Not to lump everybody together, not to say all the women are the same, but just the number you wouldn't think would really move the needle in these civil lawsuits. According to Albert Breer, the 24th lawsuit might be something that kind of stood out to Cleveland.
It's dominating a lot of the conversation, I would say, that I'm having. And I think no one really knows what the number of games is going to be. And I think the... You know, what happened over the course of the last week that's interesting, like, you know, like the 24th case, the 24th case wasn't as expected, I think, as the 23rd. And I think that there's an important nuance in the way these things have happened, in that I think there was an expectation from the league, from the Browns, that the 23rd lawsuit could come. I think this latest one is at least a little bit of a surprise to the league. I'm not sure that Deshaun told the Browns, and I think there's going to be some questions about, you know, how upfront Deshaun was.
Okay. So I want to make clear that I'm not putting any blame on Deshaun and I'm not taking any off. But let's not talk about Deshaun for a second. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns.
I know.
And the Haslam family. Okay. Whether or not you think Deshaun Watson did or didn't do, just let's focus on the Browns for a second. If they did their due diligence in this investigation, which they said they did, remember the big Twitter statement, remember all of that. Mm-hmm. If they did their due diligence, then they know that Deshaun had 66 plus massage therapists over a 17-month period of time. So they shouldn't be shocked by anything. And if what and Albert Breer is legit. I mean, he doesn't put things out there very often that are wrong. So if what he's saying on Pat McAfee's show is correct, that the Browns were not shocked by the 23rd, but the 24th was a little less expected, and maybe Deshaun wasn't. Then, honestly, that is on the Haslams. That's on Stefanski, and more so probably on Andrew Berry, that they are so shocked that there could be a 24th.
What a bunch of morons. This is so on brand for this loser organization. We're shocked by the 24th allegation? Are you serious? You thought no more were going to come out of the woodwork? Like, that, to me, is hilarious. It's on brand for Cleveland, too. And look, you could dump on the Texans for this, but the team that I'm focusing on the most is Cleveland. You're shocked by anything after this. I mean, you traded for this guy. You're obviously not going to admit, yeah, we didn't know if a guy like this would ever be available to us. He was. We said bleep it. We traded for him. But it's hilarious, the idea that you would be stunned by the 24th. Oh, this one. Wait a second. This is not what we signed up for. This is now them trying to do some sort of damage control. But I guess they didn't need to do it as much after the first 23.
The narrative is going to become, okay, if Deshaun gets a lengthy suspension, we still don't know. The NFL investigation per Ian Rappaport might not have even wrapped up yet. We still don't know if he's going to get suspended at all, how long it's going to be.
I think he'll be suspended a year now. I mean...
The Browns are going to try to make the narrative through the media, through agents, et cetera, that they just, oh my God, Deshaun was not up front with us. We didn't know. You knew what you were getting. You knew that this was going to be a controversy. Whether or not they believe, I cannot emphasize this enough, whether or not they believe Deshaun Watson or not, they knew that this was going to be an issue. He had 20-plus women accusing him of something. So even if you believe your new franchise quarterback, you have to know that there could be potentially new lawsuits coming. You may support him, and you may say, Deshaun, we believe you, but you know there's going to be more. For them to say that they're surprised about a 24th shows just how kind of ignorant they are as a franchise.
He told us he was done. He told us that was it. We
believed
him.
He told us the cap was 23 and now there's 24?
Right. That they believe him is, I think, where you look at them and you're like, why would you believe him? Because you want to believe him? I mean, that's the only reason that you would buy into anything that he tells you. And yeah, you didn't do your due diligence, just like the grand jury didn't do its due diligence. That was the other part of this story that I found fascinating, Vanessa, is that Rusty Hardin met with Harris County Assistant District Attorney Jonas Stallings earlier this year, and essentially Hardin presented a slideshow to her. So then when the grand jury was supposed to, you know, do their investigation, only one of the five victims were there, was called to testify. So they could have had a bunch of people testify, and they never called Deshaun Watson to testify, maybe because they assumed that he would just plead the fifth with everything, but Rusty Hardin, and I'm sure the relationships that he has created over all of his years as a lawyer, definitely seem to make this very easy for Deshaun Watson in the actual criminal court of law. Again, would he have testified at all? He would have pled the fifth with every single thing there. But that part as well, the Harris County District Attorney's Office didn't respond to Frentis's request for an interview. They probably knew they were going to lose, which is why they didn't pursue. Because you need, again, evidence that's right, admissible in court. But that part was fascinating to me, too.
So that's what stood out to you, Paul. Sean, was there anything when you read this article that really caught your eye? I mean, God, the whole thing is nuts, but...
Yeah, I mean, the whole circus around this thing is nuts with... I mean, it was, what, last week that Rusty Hardin made the... Yeah, you know, who among us hasn't had, you know, a massage that...
The happy ending.
Ended with a happy ending. Who among us?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have, I mean, Deshaun Watson's social media defense, his social media team really batting away all the criticism by using rap lyrics from Lil Baby as a defense.
That's... Yeah. So Deshaun Watson posted on his
DaBaby?
Lil Baby.
What about Big Baby?
Glenn Davis is in prison.
This song is apparently called Rich Off Pain, and it features Rod Wave, and it's by Lil Baby, Lil Durk, and Rod Wave. And these are the lyrics that he posted.
Rod Wave, my guy.
See, the blogs can't break me down. See, I'm the voice. I don't reply.
Want me to give you a beat?
But the rumor... But sure. See, the blogs can't break me down. See, I'm the voice. I don't reply. But the rumors y'all done heard. God, if we're white, it's really painful. But the rumors y'all done heard, I'm a humbly deny. Yeah, yeah.
God, people posting rap lyrics are such
the rumors
cringy,
y'all done
corny,
heard,
you know
I'm
what.
A humbly deny. So I think I would guess.
Y'all heard what I said.
This came out since he posted those 2 hours after the article came out. The y'all, I'm going to humbly deny, I'm guessing is about the fact that he was inappropriate.
Should have quoted Martin Luther King or something.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really like made me believe
really
you.
Deep.
Yeah.
Right. This has been a terrible thing to cover, but it's also been interesting to gauge people's reactions because there are still people, believe it or not, that think that this is a big conspiracy theory against Deshaun Watson.
I saw some posts online. They're just going against him because he's a black man. And I'm like, okay, you haven't read this entire thing, but a lot of those were also coming out of the city of Cleveland. I feel like everyone has turned their guns on Watson, and the NFL just keeps on providing these no comments. And I really feel like they're going to feel pressured into giving Watson at least a 1-year suspension.
Anybody who says the NFL doesn't care about optics is
all
ridiculous.
That is all they care about.
In fact, don't forget they ended racism by putting in racism. So now racism is done, which is awesome.
It's great.
But they do care about optics. And the fact that the NFL investigation, if we are going off of what Ian Rappaport said yesterday on Pat McAfee, is not complete yet, that's a big deal.
I think if you have questions about this, and we'll leave this on the table for the entire rest of the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Please throw them in if you have takes on it too. Absolutely. We have other stuff to discuss on today's program, but I feel like yet another story, which is not surprising to anyone here. It's not surprising to anyone in Houston. It's 66. Wow, that actually seems like a low number. Like, that's kind of where we're at right now.
It's 66 that are proven per yeah. Jenny Vrintas through Cap Ash receipts, etc.
Yes, the cash, the old Cash App. And, I mean, do we have Venmo? Do we have... I'm not joking here. I feel like if you are someone who is going to do this with this many people, why would you not do a better job of covering your tracks? I think it's crazy when people post publicly what they're paying for things on Venmo.
And, yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, I see it all the time. Oh, Little Timmy's Barbecue. Whenever I Venmo somebody, I always make it private, but you can still track the records there. If you're doing something where you are getting old fashions, if you are getting rub and tugs, like, why are you not covering your tracks here unless you're just a complete sociopath that thinks he's above the law, which seems like what he might be.
I do think that there was an element of him thinking that nothing could go wrong and that he's invincible. And that's made clear by the fact that he said he has, quote unquote, no regrets. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the NFL regular season is 93 days away. We're asking you guys who you think the toughest team is in the NFL. First, though, I'm going to help you save some money on your home insurance. Listen up. You probably pay too much for it, but it's a huge hassle to get a better rate. It doesn't have to be. TGS Insurance has a new system. They have over 36 carriers, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds, so it's not time-consuming. And again, you just send a single text. So take your phone out right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. The system is going to ask for your home address. You send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is almost perfect. And their customers from last year, on average, save over $870. What could you do with that money, folks? I know you hate shopping for home insurance, but this is the easiest it's ever going to be thanks to TGS Insurance. One more time, text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
5X480.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday. A lot of you sending in your opinions and whatnot about the new Deshaun Watson article, the accusations, the things that have been said. 8755 on the text line says, Watson should have paid the massage therapist extra than make them sign a paper like Jeter and A-Rod did in the beginning. I don't know that Jeter and A-Rod were ever accused of this. I think Jeter and A-Rod, it's well known that they made people sign NDAs, women that they engaged in consensual sexual activity with, maybe?
A lot of people do the NDA, yeah, the NDA thing, though, thing as celebrities. I know it looks bad, but, I mean, Russell Wilson had people sign NDAs for going into a luxury box with him.
Really?
Yeah. Someone who did a report about Russell Wilson way back in the day. I think it was Greg Bishop
like
of Sports Illustrated.
Game?
I forget what
but
the event was,
okay.
But it was some sporting event. Maybe it was a baseball game because it was in Seattle. So whatever the case, yeah, he had to sign an NDA to go into this. So they had a conversation, you know, Russell Wilson, the politician that he is. It's Tim Tebow supposedly had NDAs with people too. Like it is something that happens. I can understand why they would maybe provide him with one going forward after something like that. But as a texter points out, it's willful ignorance as an organization if your star quarterback is asking about NDAs and you don't want to dig into that more. I'm not sure if it was clear whether or not he asked about NDAs or if he told the Texans about the alleger and they said, hey, well, we're going to give you this going forward just in case. Because I'm sure that he presented it as this person's crazy and is trying to extort me
right.
or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of opinions on this, but my biggest takeaway from that article, we all talked about kind of our bullet points, is just that the Browns, you know, per Albert Breer, the 24th lawsuit may have made a surprise. They weren't sure it was coming. If you're surprised by anything Deshaun says or does at this point, that is on you as an organization, and that's the most Browns thing ever.
Or naive.
Yeah, imagine being Jimmy Haslam, not so sterling reputation himself as far as the law goes,
right,
being Andrew Berry and sitting across a table for someone who's been accused at this point by only 22 women of sexual assault. And then you're like, I can't believe he lied to me.
But if we go back in time, remember, Haslam kind of took himself out of the decision to make it happen. And it's really funny to see how Jimmy Haslam was like, well, yeah, I leave that to Andrew Berry to take deniability or plot to give himself some plausible deniability on that. So, and then Andrew Berry's like, well, yeah, we did our due diligence. So Haslam laid this all at the feet of Berry, even though Haslam, you know, probably had some questions himself.
It's a gamble. I mean, bringing Deshaun Watson in is a huge, huge gamble. And sometimes gambles don't work out.
Yeah, so he might be suspended a year.
He may be suspended a year, and then let's say he comes back and he hasn't played, he sat out a year. So if he comes back and hasn't played in 2 years, look, he may be fresh. He may be well-rested. He also could be rusty and not the same quarterback.
He could.
You never know. It's a toss-up.
I'd assume that he would be back into playing the same way that he did. One text from the 281 thinks that I believe Watson will not ever play in the NFL. Here's a tricky thing. This is a quarterback we're talking about.
Right.
I suppose that we could say we're in uncharted waters with this, because it's just such a strange case. But we're also talking about a young quarterback who's in his 20s, who's, when he's been at 100%, statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
And he's been good for the league other than all, you know, I don't want to say other than just these measly 20. But again,
any headlines, good headlines, Vanessa.
He had no record of bad behavior. This is all just been.
It's just a heel turn. It's, you know, this is why everyone believes it's a conspiracy. Yeah. It's awful.
93 days, by the way, until the NFL regular season begins. We are so excited for this. It's going to be a while. Okay, 93 days is not a short period of time.
It's almost officially 3 months.
OTAs, training camp underway soon.
John Randall, the best number 93.
Yeah,
defensive lineman.
Who's your roster?
For the Minnesota Vikings.
93.
Yeah.
A little John Randall action.
For those who don't know, so he used to put on a headset and study the cadence of the quarterback that he was playing the night before.
PG's research.
So that he could jump the snap. No, I just know this. This was a
fascinating story
about him.
Okay, there you go.
And I always thought that Jadeveon Clowney, who was always offside, should have taken a page out of John Randall's playbook and like put some headphones on himself. But John Randall was a hell of a player for the Vikings back
Shout out to John Randall. And shout out to the Chicago Bears, because they go too hard at OTAs. Yeah, the Bears were forced to cancel OTAs practice after violating the NFL's non-contact rule, so they had to sit out for a day.
Hardos. Hell yeah. This makes me think about watching Jalen Petrie at OTAs yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was so focused. He was so focused on these very slow-motion walkthrough drills. And I'm not dumping on Petrie for it. I like Hardos. I am a Hardo when I go do anything. So hell yeah to the Bears, but now they're not allowed to do OTAs anymore.
Yeah, they had to chill for a sec. But this brought up our topic of the day. Who you think the toughest team in the NFL right now is, the toughest roster.
Very subjective definition, because you could be saying physically tough. We're talking brawn. Or are we talking mentally tough? Are we talking about the team that doesn't make mistakes, the team that is going to always be in a game even if it seems like they aren't? Physically tough is cooler, right?
Physically tough, meathead is cool.
Yeah, I do like, you know, I do like me some meatheads. I like to think that all around, the most mentally tough and physically tough team, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they have been it for 20 years, essentially. And given that they were still, like, kind of within grasp of the playoffs, despite all the injuries that they had last year, I feel like you got to give it to them. And I always just assume that the Ravens are tough, especially when they wear their all-black uniforms, which are fire.
They do have a reputation. That is the brand. I'm going with the really boring answer with this, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Vita Vey, Tom Brady, your Lord and Savior.
The old man strength.
Evans, Godwin. I do think that this is probably more along the lines of the mentally tough.
Okay.
So I'm going probably the different mentally tough angle. Tom Brady, probably the mentally toughest guy in the league, never out of a game. And then he has a lot of vets that I just think are really mature, really wise. And then you have the fun, you know, duo of Godwin and Evans. So I'm going with the Bucks.
We subscribe to the light side of the force, not the dark side of the force.
Right.
Because the dark side of the force is the hardo, and the light side of the force believes in mental toughness.
There you go.
Sean? Look at you.
I literally, my research for this was Googling which team had Ndamukong Suh on it, and it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A famous number 93, by the way.
Wait, though, if you kick people in the nads, are you tough?
On Thanksgiving.
I don't know.
But it's all the stuff he goes as he crosses the line.
Right.
You know, he crosses it. He goes over the line. But all this stuff up until the line, that's very tough.
Well, he got kicked in the nuts in the playoffs, and he threw a hissy fit about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if he still has the belt as the toughest guy.
Okay,
yeah.
Then I'll go with Vita Vea.
Vita Vea, okay.
Yeah, Vita Vea.
For a team that hasn't been mentioned, how about the Colts? I don't even know if I agree with you. Really?
Very tough to play with Carson Wentz as your quarterback. Yeah.
There we go. They're mentally, I mean, think about all the anguish they went through having to listen to Carson Wentz.
And then having to listen to their owner dump on Carson Wentz for 3 months straight after that.
I was just thinking of a running team, like a run first team with Quentin Nelson on it.
Yeah. No, they are tough. And the things that they had to navigate with not only the COVID issues, but a quarterback that's underperforming. Trying to act like everything's okay, publicly supporting him when behind the scenes they all just wanted him out of there. Yeah, shout out to the Colts. Who do you guys think is the toughest team in the NFL? You could tell us mentally tough. You could tell us meathead tough. 713-780-ESPN. Of course, as always, we want your opinions. But guys, 93 days.
Huzzah!
Not too bad. Not too bad.
I just thought of a better team.
What?
The 49ers.
Ooh, because they're...
Even with one play, Trey?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback. Who's very tough.
He's very tough. He looks pretty, and
Italian
he's hurt
stallion.
All the time.
He is gorgeous. Did you know that's not his real Nana in the Subway commercial?
What?
Of course it's not.
Appropriate.
Why do you say of course?
To say it's all Italian discrimination.
They got a real actor. That was some hard-hitting thespianism.
I thought it was his mom.
It was his Nana. It was supposed to be his Nona.
I wanted his Nona to be real. I wanted him to have like outrageously Italian grandmother.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. There was an Astros game yesterday, and you could say the Tom Brady of pitching put on a hell of a show. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kai France, a swing and a miss as Justin Verlander picks up a strikeout. There is a better one as he gets the swing and miss. Julio Rodriguez goes down on strikes. Called third strike. Justin Verlander with six strikeouts tonight. Swing and a miss up top with 96. The fastball beats Cal Raleigh for strikeout number 11. Third strike. He gave him that one on the outside edge, and Justin Verlander strikes out 12 and walks off to a standing ovation for the Minute Maid Park crowd.
Shout out to Justin Verlander. He's still got it. Seven innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, 108 pitches. This guy coming off of Tommy John, 39 years old, not bad.
Yeah, and to see him absolutely eviscerate the Mariners after Seattle basically gave him his only rough start of the year was also good. Hey, the Mariners yesterday, they're getting a little chirpy, big for their britches. Well, what do? You send in the exterminator, and Verlander goes out there, and he just absolutely destroyed a lineup that honestly hasn't been very good this year. And that's not to take away from what Verlander did. That's to show, Verlander is the reminder, hey, you guys are doing very poorly compared to expectations this season. So, great to see that from Verlander. It's nice to have a Death Star. You know, if you are the evil empire, as everyone across baseball, especially Mariners fans who have been, I think, it's been amusing to watch them go after Jeremy Branham and some of the other big figures in Houston sports, but it's nice to have this just absolute destroyer of worlds in Verlander that you can send out to say, shut up, remember your place.
Verlander, after the game, by the way, and this is my fault for not digging up the soundbite, but had said that he doesn't even feel like he's 100% back from Tommy John yet.
Ooh, humble brag.
He actually said that he's still watching himself, the amount of innings he pitches, etc. if he's being honest about that, think about what he can do once he really genuinely and wholeheartedly feels that he's at 100%.
This sounds like something that you would hear in a Japanese cartoon. I don't know if anyone's watched Dragon Ball Z, but basically the entire premise of the show is that Fighter X versus Fighter Y, one fighter hasn't quite reached his true potential. And then like five episodes later, oh yeah? Well, I also haven't reached my true power. And it's just like five episodes in a row of that. It's
how it felt when I watched Top Gun the other day. It
was really?
Like, I don't play by the rules.
Oh yeah? Well, I
do.
Really don't play by the rules.
Oh, but yet I don't. So yeah, I mean, Justin Verlander saying that after the game was interesting. This was also a little bounce back game. Dusty Baker was suspended one game. Managers actually cannot appeal suspension, so he just kind of had to take that one on the nose. Hector
Sounds like
Neris,
a bunch of liberal BS.
Hector Neris was suspended four games. And then Joe Espada, Lopez, and Astros coach Troy Snitker were fined. They were not suspended, but they were fined for, quote, actions that contributed to causing the incident, end quote, which was not a brawl. It was just the benches clearing.
So Scott Service didn't get anything?
I mean, it's really, to me, look.
He's the manager of the Mariners,
yes,
by the way.
And he is the one that you could argue
he escalated that situation. I get Neris and Dusty Baker because you could argue, okay, well, they plunked him intentionally. And that's, I think, what the umpires were basically ruling when they found out that Ty France actually got hit. But Vanessa, I don't see how Scott Service is immune from this here.
And what didn't help Troy Snitker, and he got a lot of attention last year because his dad, of course, was manager of the Braves. What didn't help him is there was an ISO shot, like a shot that was specifically on him and Baker when all of this started. And you could like hear, you could read his lips saying F you. So I think that's why Troy Snitker was part of the suspension. Mm-hmm. Just a bad camera angle, essentially. But if it's a bad camera angle that's getting guys suspended, I think that's ridiculous. I always say consistency. I'm a big fan of consistency. And if you're going to fine / suspend guys on the Astros, I think that the Mariners manager should have been suspended for one game as well.
Yeah. So Scott Service was only fined, along with, like you mentioned, the Astros coaches, Espada, Lopez, and Snicker.
Right.
So why was he fined and Dusty Baker was suspended? I mean, genuinely, what's the reason as to why Dusty Baker was suspended and Servais wasn't?
Because Neris hit somebody, and there was a warning. I think that's what I would imagine baseball, the baseball tribunal, if they were called upon, I think they would say that.
Well, you know what? I hope that Dusty Baker enjoyed a day off.
Yeah.
I do.
Because he gives so many players in his lineup a day off, so now he understands how stupid that is.
JV actually passed Smoltz for strikeouts. That was cool yesterday,
That's
too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What wasn't awesome was the Rafael Montero experience in the eighth inning. For those who don't know, Vanessa, when I was in Seattle, Rafael Montero was essentially the Mariners' like number one reliever. And whenever he came into the game, it would just be nightmarish. And his ERA was not as bad as just the actual roller coaster ride that you were on. It was one of those things where like, wait a second, his ERA is this? So he's essentially the new version of Ken Giles, who, if you don't remember, is the Astros reliever who punched himself in the face in the midst of a Yankees game, but also was awful in the 2017 World Series. So this is, this is the new Ken Giles, everybody. So buckle up. Whenever Rafael Montero comes in, he might load the bases in the eighth inning and barely get out of it with a double play at the end of it.
There's also some news, by the way. You guys should watch the Astros series this weekend because yours truly is hosting Pre and Post.
Hell yeah!
Humble brag.
They are, their record officially with you is 2-1, correct?
Ooh, yes, it is.
Okay.
We're going to have to watch that.
So do we want to try to squeeze any references? Subtle? Do you feel comfortable enough to do that
yet? If I look
at
the camera and blink, just know it's a tribute to our listeners.
Oh, wow. Any blink is a
tribute.
Any
blink, yep. Any and every blink.
Shoot, could you get, like, you can't blink at all now that you've said this on the air, because they're going to be like, hey, she said if she blinks, it's going to be acknowledging. You're going to have to, well, you haven't blinked yet.
I'm staring at the Twitch camera.
I'll give
right
you
now.
Credit.
This is really hard. I have dry eyes. I'm getting LASIK at some point, okay?
You are?
Yeah, I actually am.
That's terrifying.
I'm actually going to get LASIK.
I'm
Don't
terrified
scare me,
LASIK.
Please.
I'm thinking about getting LASIK too.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Life changing. I've heard it's life changing. I haven't heard a single person say they regret it.
So, what's it like to not have perfect vision?
It's awful. I mean, it
sucks.
I literally,
I figured.
I'm at a negative 2.25 and then a 2.75 in my right eye, and the right eye has astigmatism.
Can you see my hand?
Well, I have contacts in, so yeah.
When, is it far vision or near vision that you
it's
have?
It's far vision, but again, when I don't have contacts in, I can't see anything. What about you, Sean?
I had to drive, or I didn't have to. I forgot my glasses one morning, and I drove here without glasses on Saturday.
Unbelievable.
Incredibly
you could
scary.
Have killed someone.
I mean, luckily, no one was on the road. I think,
that's what old people say,
yeah.
too.
LASIK.
Yeah, no.
It's happening.
And someone like saw me and was like, oh, you don't, like, did you get contacts? I was like, no.
You didn't even see the people you ran over, huh?
So
it was a bumpy road that
your
Saturday
glasses,
morning, right?
Your glasses full-time, right?
Yes, full-time
okay.
glasses.
I am contacts when I'm on air, and then I rock the glasses off air.
Why don't you wear the glasses on the air? You'll like it will to the audience. It'll make you seem smarter. You'll
yeah.
be like it'll be like you could be Professor Vanessa, Professor Mapes, and then you have
perfect vision, Paul.
Yeah, Paul in detention over there.
There is some news, guys, revolving words involving the Live Golf Series.
Live, laugh,
this
love.
Is per at Sky Sports News. It's been reported.
Live, laugh,
Bryson
torture.
DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, and Patrick Reed are expected to join
of
the
course,
Live Golf Series.
Of course! It's like the two most hated golfers in the world. Honestly, I'm surprised they took this long to join. Bryce, who's worse, Bryson DeChambeau or Patrick Reed?
I mean, probably DeChambeau.
I think DeChambeau is more annoying
yeah.
to like fans and to people, but like actual golfers hate Patrick.
Well, they hate him, but see, Reed is honest, except for the one time he stole the money.
Yeah,
he's honest. He's the thing with Patrick Reed.
I don't know.
Is,
DeChambeau's kind of thick.
I think that he had some help to get thick, mm-hmm. if you will.
He's on the cutting edge of science.
It was very pointy.
Little
help.
Cushing method.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Brian Cushing
yes.
method.
I think with Reed, at least Reed is who he is. I think DeChambeau, if he would just embrace who he is, he would be a lot happier. I think he has a hard time with the fact that people don't like him. But, I mean, it's hard to like him. Look at his stupid hat.
We did talk about this.
Kangol cap. You have massive biceps and a Kangol cap. Like, pick your lane.
None of these guys are actually playing in Saudi Arabia.
Like J.J. Watt visiting a Guinness brewery.
That really does boil down what everyone doesn't like about Bryson is that he's so big and muscular, but he is the type that wears a Kangol hat.
Yes.
Nice,
like
nice high
signature
socks.
Look.
Yeah.
What is this? Like the Legend of Bagger
like
Vance?
Like he's too perfect.
Steroids? Like, I don't know.
There was a media member, Rob Harris, that was kicked out of the press conference for not being polite. I don't think he was beheaded, but he was kicked out.
You don't know, though.
Yeah. So.
Because, yeah, they were asking tough questions, and the golfers were all like, yeah, they had no idea what to say. And the PR person was like, those are impolite questions, and they took him out. This thing is fascinating. They're having a draft, Vanessa. There's teams, and they're not televising the draft. It's going to be a private party, which is just so bougie and golf. It hurts.
Yeah, the golf clap.
And the team nicknames are all bad. So I guess like there's a bunch of famous golfers, like Dustin Johnson, who joined the Saudi Arabian Golf League for his family, which is the greatest shield of all.
Family.
His team and a bunch of other ones have these like really lame nicknames too, with very poorly designed logos that someone could have made themselves in Photoshop.
When people say something's for their family, it usually means they're just making more money. I would respect these guys more if they just said, you know what, it's a lot of money and we don't actually have to go to Saudi Arabia, so who cares?
I think I'm going to watch it. You know,
yeah.
I think I'm
going to...
Where's
it going to be broadcast on? Do we know?
That's a good question. What, Al Jazeera? I don't know. What I do know is that I will watch this ironically because there's a part of me that feels like golf establishment needs to be challenged. What am I basing that off of? Absolutely nothing other than
big golf guy.
Country clubs are stuffy.
At Golf Gallant.
Yeah, at Golf Gallant. ESPN 97.5 golf tournament. That's next week, right? Is that a week from today?
Guys, you literally do not want to miss this.
Is that
going to be so much fun? This
that's
is
a week.
The,
it's Tuesday. Next Tuesday,
it's
the 14th.
The occasional invitational.
Yes.
And it is. It is.
It's the 14th at Wildcat, right?
Take the day off work, guys. Play a fun round of golf. You got ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 presented.
Watch
occasional
me break
invitational
a club.
Presented by SiteJab.com. It does benefit kids' meals. This year's tournament is going to take place Tuesday the 14th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer gets a beverage from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after. Register now at ESPN975.com.
You thought we were here to talk live golf, but actually we wanted to trick you into coming golf, to the golf. Tournament.
Yes, and we can guarantee we have not taken a cent from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. That's true.
No Saudi Arabians will
I
be,
stand against Saudis? Saudi Arabia.
Is it Saudis or
Check
Saudi
that.
Arabians?
Saudi Arabian Saudis. Golf. I don't stand against Saudi Arabia because I don't want to end up dead. So
nope.
I stand against Saudi Arabian golf. Except for now, because Patrick Reed has joined, and I think this is awesome.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you probably read the article by now, and if you didn't, we're breaking down the new New York Times article that involves Deshaun Watson and possible implications, of course, for the Texans. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.